I was hoping to press on, if that's okay, to the second lesson for tonight. There is the real danger of worldliness. There is also the great danger of despair. Despair in the Christian life. That's the subject now. Okay. Hopeful and Christian have been journeying together from the city of Vanity Fair. They encountered Bayans with whom they realize they cannot join. They're invited by Demas to go and have a look at the hill of Lucre, and they find the statue of this woman with the inscription, "Remember Lot's wife." Next, they come to a pleasant river where they stop, where they drink, where they're revived. It seems almost to be describing what Horatius Bonar said, "I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live for him." That's a refreshing place. There are trees too with fruit that satisfies the soul, and the leaves of the trees are good for healing. And they need that. They need that after having passed through the world of Vanity Fair. They need that as they have conversed with Bayans and they've struggled in the temptation with covetousness, at least Hopeful did. They need their souls healed and restored. We feel that too, don't we, friends, if it's right, that we need times and places of refreshment, especially in the gospel, especially in God's house, maybe especially at his table. There on a surrounding green meadow they enjoy rest. It reminds us of Psalm 23, verse 2. "But he maketh me to lie down in green pastures." It's a place of being revived and being strengthened. They stay there for several days and nights, leading them to praise God for the rest that they have received. But then they go further. The river goes one way, while the path goes a different way, but the narrow path that they're treading becomes more difficult, it becomes rough, it becomes troublesome, and their feet begin to blister. They're becoming discouraged. And it doesn't take much, right? It doesn't take much for murmuring and complaining to set in. And that's how it is here with Christian and Hopeful, that with wandering eyes they notice there's steps to a smoother pathway. The bypath meadow, it's called. It seems to run parallel with this narrow path that they're on. Christian, being the more mature of the two, he assures Hopeful that it will be fine. And it's explainable, isn't it? You understand, Christian. You understand the desire to take the easier road. It's explainable, it's understandable, it's easy, but it's also dangerous, and deadly, and can be fatal. Maybe the lesson is this, that when the soul is downcast, we can easily take a wrong path. When the soul is downcast, we can take a wrong bypath. Surely you must know that. Discouragement, the beginnings of it sometimes even, just lead you to the wrong way, the wrong gate, the wrong steps, and it goes from bad to worse. Discouragement can bring us down the wrong bypath. And here applies what Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." They see another man traveling the same bypath in the same direction. They ask him if where this path leads to. He says to the celestial gate, but the name of that man who is telling them this is Mr. Vain Confidence. Well, they listen to him, and there is relief and ease in this lush green meadow. But the experience of comfort is not the same. It's not a comfort from the Lord. It's the comfort of vain confidence. Yes, this fellow in front of them has a confidence that seems to indicate a pilgrim who knows exactly where he's going, and they follow him into the night. That's quite descriptive in Pilgrim's Progress. They follow him into the night. If they had kept to the path, the narrow path, they probably would have arrived at the Delectable Mountains before sunset. But they follow vain confidence into the night. And then he shows himself as an unstable guide. He falls into a deep pit. And the answer that Christian and Hopeful get from him, when they ask him how he is, all they get is his groaning. And then Christian and Hopeful realize their mistake. And then it begins to storm. That's real, isn't it? And the fruit of your disobedience manifests itself in the dark night of the soul. And the tumultuous night of the soul. And the more spiritually mature Christian has misled the less spiritually mature Hopeful out of the way. And Christian realizes his mistake. He repents. He's grieved. He confesses his fault. And Hopeful is ready to forgive his friend. And they realize they must go back. And there's this beckoning voice they hear. And whose voice it is, I don't know. Maybe it's the voice of evangelists. But whatever the case is, it calls for these two pilgrims to return to the path they were on before. But it's night. They're struggling. It's easier. Do you see the point Bunyan's making? It's easier to go out of the way than it is to come back onto the right way. It's more difficult to return. And with all their skill and determination, they weren't able to return to the steps that led them back to the narrow path that night. They find a shelter, it's true, and they sleep in that shelter till the morning. But when the morning dawns, the pilgrims are rudely awakened by the gruff and brutal giant despair. And Christian, who fought against Apollyon, doesn't draw even his sword. Those who wander out of the way become powerless against spiritual enemies like giant despair. They're imprisoned in a dungeon of Doubting Castle. What a contrast. If you remember, some time ago now, between this castle, Doubting Castle, and a palace beautiful. And instead of hospitality and charity and pity in Palace Beautiful, there is no charity, there is no pity, and there is no hospitality. They're in the dark. They're in a nasty, stinking cell without food and water. It's hard to believe that these two pilgrims had just shortly before feasted and rested on the banks of the river of water of life. And now they're finding themselves so weak and downcast, prisoners of giant despair. These things can happen in the Christian life. Now, the period of incarceration lasts 4 days, from Wednesday morning to Saturday evening. And there's real distress. These Christians especially had known deliverances before, but here it seems like they won't be rescued. There's hunger, there's remorse, and there's pain. Diffidence, that's the wife of giant despair, whose name means distrust or mistrust or suspicion. And it says, doesn't it, that distrust and despair go together. Yeah. At diffidence, she recommends a beating. She suggests terrible things. Suggests that they commit suicide. She says, you can't mend it, therefore just end it. Oh, it's dark. There is a little reprieve, though, when light shines in the darkness. And giant despair goes into a fit when there is light in the darkness. Bunyan, he wrote a tract at some point entitled Light for Them That Sit in Darkness. He recognizes that the believer can be in such a low and sad and deplorable condition. And what makes things worse usually is isolation. Like Elijah fleeing from Jezebel and to the wilderness. I'm the only one left. Isolation doesn't help us in our distress and despair. Thankfully, Christian and hopeful are together. And they can speak together. And Christian wonders if suicide is the only way out. And hopeful answers all of his arguments. It goes like this. Hopeful says it's forbidden by the Lord. It kills the body and soul. Suicide doesn't give any ease. And there are alternatives. And hopeful suggests maybe they can escape from giant despair. Or maybe there will be death of despair. Or maybe they can resist despair. Now Bunyan will tell us that despair actually is not needed in the Christian life. Bunyan believes that if you're in hell, there it's only despair. If you've perished and if you're in hell, then you can despair. But he says, why should you despair? I'm reading from one of his tracts here. Why should you despair of bread in a land that is full of corn? Why despair of mercy when God goes about by his ministers beseeching sinners to be reconciled unto him? Has he ever lied? He calls sinners to trust him, though they walk in darkness and have no light. Why despair when we have a God of mercy and a redeeming Christ who lives? This is not the place and time to despair. As long as you can find a promise in the Bible, as long as there is the mention of grace, as long as you live in the day of grace, so long I will wait and look for mercy, he says. Remember, Bunyan is giving pastoral guidance here, isn't he, in his tract. Remember that God is pleased to offer mercy to the biggest and the worst and the chief of sinners. So, hopeful actually is the one sustaining Christian. You'll notice that. He's supporting Christian. That's what we need in times of distress. The Lord of hope especially. But yes, people who can direct us outside of ourselves to the God of mercy and the redeeming Christ who lives. Giant is despair. He becomes more furious that these men remain alive. A Christian has another sinking spell, but hopeful, while feeling his weaknesses, also his spiritual weaknesses, he stirs Christian up to remember past deliverances, past comforts, past outcomes. There's fellowship in these dark times. There's communion even with a fellow prisoner in Doubting Castle. Yes, but notice how the word of truth is beginning to be spoken. The first steps back from doubt and despair are filled with memories of how God has been faithful, how God has preserved, how God has kept us. Now let me pause here for a moment and try to draw some lessons here. I mean, how did they end up here? How did they end up here? Through self-interest and through vain confidence. Right? Self-interest, wanting to avoid the rocky path, almost thoughtlessly, It's easier that way. Isn't this real for the believer, wanting an easier way and then led astray to take an easier way instead of continuing on the narrow way, instead of bearing under the yoke that God has given us? Have we not been tempted to choose an easier way? But be careful where that easier way will lead us. And yeah, the second thing that has led him out of the way is vain confidence. And I don't know if you remember now all of our studies, but throughout Pilgrim's Progress, Christian and faithful and hopeful have been generally careful to ask others their names. I think we're trying to figure it out with Mr. Byans, remember? But they weren't careful this time. And they weren't careful to determine this one who rises in our hearts so quickly and so easily. Vain confidence, pride and arrogancy, self-trust. And they slept. They slept on the grounds of giant despair when they should be watching and praying. And I think the lesson here is beware of neglecting the means of grace, friends. Beware of neglecting the Word of God. Beware of neglecting the throne of grace. Beware of neglecting your Bible. Nobody else may know, but God will and you will. Beware of neglecting prayer, private prayer. Maybe you're here and you've settled down in carnal security and you've stopped following the Lord in all things and you've stopped trusting God for all things. And friends, if that's the case, we're not far off from Doubting Castle. We're not far off from feeling abandoned by God and feeling without hope in time and eternity. And perhaps that's where we are, despondent. And praying can make us more despondent sometimes. Even in Psalm 88, he knew about that despondency. A woman writes, I found this story of a woman writing to a New Testament scholar and translator, J.B. Phillips. She had been caring for her husband. Her husband had a stroke and become paralyzed on one side, and then she also suffered a stroke, and she writes to this New Testament scholar, minister, and translator. She says, "I can neither cook, nor wash, nor garden, nor carry anything, nor play the organ. And then comes this awful thought, what if my bright faith has been a delusion?" And then she asks, "Where is the dear Christ of experience with whom I've walked and talked through the years? Life is so dreary without him, where before it was such a joyous thing. It seems worse than ever before." And Bunyan reckons with this real experience, that the true believer, while he need not be despairing, yet the true child of God, someone in union and communion with Jesus Christ, can find himself despondent, despairing, down in the dumps. It's possible to lose all assurance of salvation because of the trials, because of the difficulties, because of the burdens, because of the conflicts, because of a whole host of things. And sometimes God, in his sovereign providence, withdraws the light of his countenance for a season. And maybe you're like Heman, walking in darkness and having no light. I'm glad Psalm 88 is in the Bible. Aren't you? I'm glad John Bunyan, as a wise and faithful pastor, reckoned with this. In an evangelical world that doesn't seem to even acknowledge that anything like this might exist. And remember, the Lord Jesus knows what it is too. And he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But it doesn't end there. Giant despair, he plots with his wife. Diffidence suggests that they should just view the castle yard with all the bones and skulls of others who didn't survive. And Giant Despair terrorizes his captives again and again, but he confesses, it's interesting, he confesses his weakness to his wife because there is a picklock whereby they can escape. And Giant Despair realizes that, and he confesses his impotence to his wife, Diffidence, and then there is the escape. Saturday, about midnight, that ushers in the Lord's Day morning, is John Bunyan maybe drawing our attention to the importance of the Lord's Day, the importance of the means of grace. Whatever it is, I think it's there. That these men begin to pray, they begin to break till the break of day. And shortly before the break of day, Christian realizes what a fool he's been because he has a pocket. And in that pocket is a key called promise that will open any lock in Doubting Castle. And what pastoral instruction this is. Bunyan writes elsewhere, despair undervalues the promise. Despair undervalues the invitation. Despair undervalues the proffer of grace. As long as my eyes can find a pardon, a promise, as long as there is the least mention of grace, so long will I look for grace and fight against all unbelief and despair. And there are three gates that need to be opened. And Giant Despair was awakened to the gate being open, and he intends to pursue them, but he collapses with a seizure, and Christian and Hopeful escape, returning over the stairs, and they reach the King's Highway, where they erect a warning at the stairs, a pillar. If I have that. Over this stile is the way to Doubting Castle, which is kept by Giant Despair, who despises the king of the celestial country and seeks to destroy his holy pilgrims. And then they went on their way singing. Out of the way we went, and then we found what it was to tread upon forbidden ground. And let them that come after have a care, lest heedlessness makes them as we to fare. Lest they for trespassing his prisoners are, whose castle Doubting, and whose name Despair. Do we need to, maybe tonight for the first time, reach into our pockets, reach for the Bible, to find the key of promise, the promises of God that are sure and steadfast? Do we need to maybe remember that the Lord of the celestial city is touched with the feeling of our infirmities? He knows what it is to have been forsaken, and he can deliver, and he can comfort in every time of need.